You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to a card at Punchestown over the jumps a little later on this evening. Sam Norris here on the podcast, and joining me on the line, as ever, to offer up his best bets of the day is Mr. Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Sam.
How are you today?
Good, in good form.
Good stuff. What do you make of this Punchestown card tonight?
Decent, isn't it? Yeah. First two races, excellent. A lot of old favourites, a lot of horses that apply their trade in the summer jumping period, but at the same time have plenty of form against the better horses in the winter. A couple of good handicaps, most notably the penultimate race, the 8:30. That brings together plenty of horses who are really in good nick at the moment. So yeah, there's a good card tonight, Punchestown. Decent ground as well. Good ground, watered obviously to maintain, and no rain forecast. Should be a good night for spectators as well.
Yeah, and a fair bit of prize money on offer for a weekend fixture as well.
It was, isn't it, in Ireland? Yeah. €13,000, far outweighs what we've got on offer in this country. And yeah, that's the key, isn't it? Get a jump horse in Ireland.
Yeah, certainly is. That'll be the one that pays. We'll start then with the first race of the night. Punchestown kick off their card at 6 o'clock with a 2 mile, 2 furlong chase, and Indivan heads affairs here at 3-1. 4-1 for Real Steel. French Opera is 6-1. 6-1 as well for Darwin's Fox. It's 8-1 at bar those. And some well-respected connections represented here, Andy.
Yeah, this is a nice mix, isn't it, this first race? You've got a couple of horses who are still relatively lightly raced and on the up, and plenty that have been around the block but still maintain all their old ability and verve in what should be an intriguing opener over a distance which isn't often run nowadays, 2 mile two. So good for the 2 milers if they won a little bit further, and if horses are not quite getting home, then dropping back is absolutely perfect. We'll start with Indivan, who's likely to be favourite here. He hasn't had that many runs, not much miles on the clock. The one thing he does require is decent ground, and when he does get his conditions, he's fairly useful. He's run five times over fences. He's managed to win three, and most of those victories have come on decent ground. His only real severe defeat was at the hands of Shanahan's Term when the ground was soft here at Punchestown when we last saw him back in November. He's very much a spring-stroke summer jumping horse. A race such as the Galway Plate, I would imagine, would be on his radar. And he's going to be a leading player here. But I'm going to stick with the form which is shown by Real Steel and Foyle Dub here on the 16th of May. On that occasion, Mouse Morris's 7-year-old came out on top, despite taking a couple of fences around with him as a souvenir, particularly the last as well, when he looked like he was about to get home. But he literally walked through. He did very well, therefore, to rally and get back up in the closing stages. Foyle Dub himself subsequently has gone on to run an excellent race in a competitive race down in Ballinrobe, but he didn't just quite stay the trip, but he's back to a track where he often goes well. So they're the speed figure horses around the track for me. Ground's fine for both of them. Real Steel's the number one choice, but it'd be dangerous to also disregard Foyle Dub around a track he's gone well before.
Okay, couple then for Andy in that one. Real Steel getting the selection in the 6 o'clock. The second race on the Punchestown card this evening comes up at 6:30. This one is a 2 mile, 6 furlong chase. And Argo Cat heads affairs at 13-8. 11-4 for Bailey Green. The winner of this race in 2013 was Rafflin. He's back in the race at 7-2. 4-1 for Maker Track. Ross Voss is 20-1. His bigger price is the remaining two. Talk us through this one, Andy.
Well, having tipped Mouse Morris's horse in the first race, Real Steel, he looks as though he's got a very strong hand here in the 6:30, not only with the winner of this race, as you pointed out, in 2013 in the shape of Rathlin, but mainly due to the fact that he's got Bailey Green, the real class horse in this race, in the lineup as well. Quite a surprise to see this horse trading at 11-4 this morning, considering that if you go back two starts ago, he was runner-up in that excellent champion chase, the Grade 1 here at the Festival, behind Felix Younger. He had the likes of Hidden Cyclone, Champagne Fever and Maloney all languishing in behind him. And a reproduction of that form surely would be good enough to take this race, despite obviously the trip being a little bit of a concern, albeit he has won over 2.5 miles before. He just didn't quite get home the other day on the really bad ground at Killarney. But it was, once again, that was another good effort. The figures suggested it was. It was a real Herculean effort by the winner, who bounded to victory in emphatic fashion. But Mouse Morris's charge chased him home. I must admit, I'm a little bit none the wiser and nonplussed by Argo Cat's campaign this year. Just the one decent run on his dance card, and that came behind Felix Younger at Navan. But either side of that, he's been very, very difficult to predict. He's been a bit hit and miss. This would almost be last chance saloon for him with many punters at a short price, but he just doesn't make any appeal to me at 13-8, given the fact that he hasn't won this season, even though he's got conditions in his favour. So I'm going to go with Bailey Green. I think 11-4, stroke 3-1 is a really good price for this 9-year-old. He jumps well, he likes the track, and he'll be off in front, so he'll do for me there.
Okay, Bailey Green then in the 6:30 Frandy. 7 o'clock is the third race on the card. This one's a handicap chase. 2.6 miles, the trip once more. And the Dorman and Asda PK share favouritism at time of recording. They're both 7-2. 7-1 for Winter Magic. 7-1 for Boss Croker. 10-1 Jan's Boy. Bigger prices the rest of them. The market would suggest this is a two-horse race, Andy. Is that the case?
I wouldn't say it's a two-horse race. These handicap chases never are. I'd certainly have to consider one or two at a bigger price. I think Riverside City might run a good deal better than he did the other day down in Kilbeggan, when he never really got going around that tight track. But decent ground will suit him. You can certainly throw in notable mentions for the likes of Jan's Boy and Winter Magic as well, of course, who was a good run-up the other day at Tipperary, and this ground will suit him better than that day. But I'll have to go with Asda Peak here, who was hugely impressive on the eye at Downroll the other day, dropping back in trip. The time before he ran here over 3.1 miles, he certainly stayed well enough. In fact, I think he should have won by a little bit of a niggly mistake at the second last, which ultimately cost him the race behind Father Humphrey. But he's proven at least that he goes around this track. And then, like I say, got it all together the other day at Downroll. He travelled really well, almost going just as well as in 2 out. Was 5 o'clock tee, the short price favourite, but he quickly disposed of him in the latter stages, suggesting he's right on top of his game. The lad who rides his horse as well looks decent in the saddle. This Johnny Kane, who claimed 7. There's a nice little crop of conditional jockeys coming through in Ireland at the moment, and he'd be, along with quite a few, which I'm going to mention later on in the card, very much value for their £7. So, despite the full pound penalty, obviously Johnny takes 7 off. This horse, bang on top of his game, with a good run last time out and a good run around this track the time before. Looks the part in the 7 o'clock.
Okay, then Asda PK in that 7 o'clock for Andy then. The 7:30 is a 2.5 mile maiden hurdle, and the name escapes me, is the favourite at 2-1. Joint favouritism now with Sandy Mark Duke, also at 2-1. 9-2 for Klinsman. Miles ahead is 8-1. Easter Hunt 9s, and it's double figure prices or bigger the rest. Quite a few of these have been given a good few chances to win, Andy, but the favourite at least has a winning bump performed to his name.
He does, and he was hugely impressive that day as well at Clonmel. So much so that he's now been acquired by JP McManus and now runs for Noel Mead for the first time. Obviously, expected improvement is very much likely for with his five-year-old, despite him being off the track since February. And he looked a good horse that day when the way he bounded clear. There didn't appear to be any fluke about that performance. He beat a couple of horses who have been beaten in races subsequently, but they are useful in their own right. Gordon Elliott's Roman Gold and, of course, William Mullins' nickname Exit. The time of the race is pretty useful, and providing he can jump, then he probably is the most exciting horse in this race. But I'm going to stick with the form that Sandy Mount Duke achieved when he was runner-up the other day behind a well-backed horse, well-fancied horse of Willie Mullins's called Limony. She was very much expected to get off the mark that day, being a four-year-old receiving all the allowances. And it was a good effort, therefore, by Sandy Mount Duke to try to give that horse a stone. And he only succumbed by half a length in the latter stages, rallying well after being headed on the run-in. I liked his tenacity that day. Also, I think he'd be better suited stepping up in trip as well. He has run well behind a horse of Willie Mullins in a bumper at Nace over 2.5 miles. And being as he's got form around the track, he comes from a yard in great form. And the speed figure of that race at Punchestown as well, that day was the fastest furlong per furlong time on the card. All adds up for a huge run here from Sandy Mount Duke. So, despite the favourite having excellent claims, the name escapes me. I'm going to go with the course form of Sandy Mount Duke to claim that 7:30.
Okay, Sandy Mark Duke then in the 7:30 at Punchestown for Andy. We'll move then to the 8 o'clock. This one is a 2-mile mare's maiden hurdle. And we've got a very warm favourite here in the shape of Sophie's World, who is 5-2 on this morning with us here and probably just bumped into one last time out at Killarney, Andy. Is she entitled to be that price this morning?
Yeah, this looks a golden opportunity, doesn't it, here for Sophie's World, as the odds suggest. She's going to be around about 2-1 on. She might have won first time out at Down Raw, but for tipping up at the second last when she was going well. She then bumped into a useful horse down in Killarney the other day in the shape of Carolee from the Red Hot Willie Mullins stable, but the pair of them were well clear. And this is, looks a really weak maiden hurdle. The only problem is, like I say, she is a very short price. So therefore, we probably look within the without the favourite market to get a little bit of value squeezed out of this race. And I'm going to go with Anna Holty to chase home the jolly here. Although she was only 70 the other day at Clonmel, it's a race which I think is beginning to shape up well enough for me to believe that the form is useful. Horses such as Chris Kindle, who I napped the other day, has finished third since. And Definite Lady, who I went for in a bit of an audacious punt with the other day, back at the Tremor. That horse ran well at a big price when finishing place of the day. So that form's already begun to work out quite well. The time of the race is good. And Anna Holty travelled really well into that contest until not quite getting home. Just didn't quite stay the trip. Dropping back down to 2 miles today should suit. And certainly got enough form to at least be competitive here. I certainly expect Sophie's World to win. But Anna Holty, without the favourite, would be the bet in the 8 o'clock for me.
OK, there we are, Andy's thoughts in the 8 o'clock then. We'll move to the penultimate race on the card. This one comes up at 8:30. It's a 2-mile handicap hurdle. And see what in coppers, this is the 11-4 favourite this morning. 7-1 for Lucky Pat. 8 till late is 8-1. Rupert Lamb is 8-1, 10-1. But those taking a fair chunk out of the market this year.
Yeah, deservedly so, yeah. See you all in coppers. Only had the one win. That was actually on his debut as a juvenile. But subsequently changed hands and now runs in the care of Gordon Elliott, whose horses in general are in fantastic form at the moment. And he's ridden as well by another one of these £7 conditionals, who has suggested that William Hill, Irish podcaster, stay on the right side of this Jack Kennedy, who looks very much the real deal. Gordon's using him very sparingly, but when he is sticking him on some of these well-handicapped horses, he appears to be getting the job done. He's already had a couple of winners. He had two winners the other night down in Down Royal, and he looks full value for his £7 claim, and this could be very valuable as well on a horse such as this. He was a good night catching third here at the festival back in April when he chased home my nap at Bog War from an impossible position. He managed to run on strongly to finish third. He probably found the ground a little bit too soft for him at Perth. He's on his next start, albeit he ran well. And then he was a huge eye-catcher again the other day down in Tremor. I actually napped the winner that day, Patsio, but I've got to be honest and hold my hands up. I think Seawall in coppers would have beaten him had he not been badly hampered by the horse dropping back in his lap on the home turn. In the end, he only got beat a short head, but obviously that bit of interference definitely cost him more than the length, and that was the difference between winning and losing. So really, he's a winner without a penalty here, plus the fact he's got Jack Kennedy to take seven off, and this horse does look incredibly well handicapped. He's 11-4, stroke 3-1 on the morning line, and I think that horse will probably even start shorter. I think 8 till late looks the obvious threat. A horse that travelled really eye-catchingly at the Punchestown Festival over 2.5 miles in the Martinstown Opportunity Final, only to weaken in the latter stages. They dropped him back in trip, and he ran on better ground the other day at Limerick and posted a really good number, so much so that the second horse, Phantom Prince, has won subsequently in Ballinrobe. And that strong travelling 7-year-old trained by Peter Casey, I think, will run well at a price as well. So they're definitely my two against the field, but I see you all in coppers as the one to beat, and he gets the nap vote on the card in the 8:30.
Okay, see you all in coppers then, the pick for Andy in that one. We'll move to the final race of the day. Then we close the card with a bumper at 9 o'clock. 2 miles is the trip for this one, and Touch a Million heads affairs this morning at 11-4, 7-2 for Matchaway, Freestone Hill 4-1, 7-1 Bobby the Gangster, 8-1 Park Row. Bigger prices, the rest of them. Who wins the bumper, Andy?
Well, I won't say who wins it, but the bet is definitely going to be Freestone Hill from the Anthony Mullins stable. Jane Mangan's on board. Ran with a degree of promise on debut back in February behind a nice horse, Cogree Hill. And that race has worked out reasonably well. I've kept my eye on how the horses have performed in that race. And although none of them have actually won, a lot of them have run well enough to suggest the form's OK. But I do like the way this Freestone Hill went through that race. He stayed on quite nicely in the latter stages. I certainly think the better ground will suit him as well. And he looks a real sort of 2.5 mile stroke, 3 mile chaser in time. Obviously, there are plenty of other horses fancied in this race, and it's very difficult to be dogmatic at this early stage of the morning without knowing the betting activities closer to the off. But as it stands, I think Freestone Hill's run on debut at Navan is certainly good enough to see him in the mix. And at 4-1, he represents a decent each way bet in the last.
Okay, fair enough. Just run us through the card one more time then, please, Andy. Remind us of your selections for Punchestown on Wednesday.
Oh, will do, Sam. Yeah, looks a decent card for us tonight. Punchestown, one or two nice little bets on the card. Beginning with Real Steel in the first. I'm sure that he'll run well, given that he loves the track, loves the ground, and comes here off the back of a win last time out. I'm going to go with Bailey Green, who heads the two-pronged attack for Mouse Morris in the conditions race at 6:30. In the 7 o'clock, the obvious choice has to be As the Peak, just under a £4 penalty in the hands of the excellent Johnny Kane. At the 7:30, a real good matchup here between the name escapes me on hurdling debut and the form horse Sandy Mount Duke, who ran well here the last day behind Limini. I'm going to go with the latter. In the 8 o'clock, Sophie's World should win, barring accidents, but if you didn't want to take a short price, then maybe Anna Halty is an alternative against the favourite. The nap of the night in the 8:30 is the bottom one, See You All in Coppers, in the hands of the excellent £7 conditional Jack Kennedy. And in the 9 o'clock, I'm going to go with Free Stonehill, who shaped with a degree of encouragement on debut back in February. Hopefully, he'll be able to run a nice race for us there.
Okay, excellent stuff. There we are then. Thoughts of Andy Holding, our Irish racing expert, ahead of the action from Punchestown on Wednesday. And you'll hear the entire Punchestown card in full on William Hill Racing Radio alongside Fontwell, Nottingham, Wolverhampton, Ripon and Chelmsford on Wednesday. So do join Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott from 1:50pm for all of the action. Thank you for joining me this morning, Andy, and I hope you enjoy the card tonight at Punchestown.
Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.